So millions of us will cast our ballots well before Election Day, and this rise in early voting is having a big impact on how the parties run their campaigns. Pre-polling stations open around Australia today. Officially, you need a valid reason in order to vote early. You're travelling, or you'll be interstate, or you're ill, or maybe you're having a baby. But there's no way for the Australian Electoral Commission to check if that's true. 17 million people are enrolled to vote. That's a new record, with a noticeable spike this year in the number of young people on the electoral roll. Tom Rogers is the Australian Electoral Commissioner. Tom Rogers, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Early voting, pre-polling has been on the rise in recent years. I think at the last election, 23% of voters cast their ballots early. In 2007, it was just 8%. How many do you think is likely to be this time around?
Very difficult to predict. I can tell you that postal voting has remained fairly flat, but pre-poll voting is increasing, not just here, by the way, but in comparable countries such as New Zealand. I think at their last election, it was almost 50%. So it's been a big increase.
With so many people casting their votes early, what impact is that having on election outcomes? Can you have a sense of that?
Look, I can't have a sense of that, and deliberately I won't have a sense of that being the Commissioner, but it's just an interesting trend, and we're certainly getting to a point where Parliament wants to have another look at this, and they've already announced that in the life of the next Parliament there'll be an inquiry into pre-poll voting, and I think some of those issues will be canvassed there.
Do you know that whether that instruction from the Joint Standing Committee is because they're concerned about it, or you know they want something brought in to tighten it up? Is that the implication?
I'm not sure there's anything behind it other than because it's a trend, they'd really like to have a look at it and probably understand it a bit more, I think.
Okay. A survey by the Australia Institute suggests that one in two of us don't understand the new Senate voting rules that were introduced at the last election, which means that some of us could be preferencing parties that we actually don't support. The Australia Institute wants the Electoral Commission to urgently review the instructions it gives to voters at the ballot box. What's your reaction to that?
Look, I think we did a very good job at the last election of informing people of what those changes are, and we're doing the same thing again. If people are confused, I would urge them to visit our website where there's a practice voting tool. They can jump on and actually have a go and make sure that they are casting a formal vote. And I think we did a reasonable job of explaining that last time.
Just remind us what it is. So it's not voting one above the line or every number below the line. That's the old system.
That's exactly right. 1 to 6 above the line, 1 to 12 below. That's as part of the legislative change, as you've said, Fran, before the last election. And I would urge people to actually have a go at the practice voting tool to make sure they're comfortable with that before they get into the booth on the day.
Okay, and 1 to 6 above the line means that's your top six. It's not your first best and your last best, is it?
However you want to mark those votes is up to you. And again, obviously it's important for citizens to be informed before they go into the booth, and I'd urge them to do that as well.
Okay, listening to RN Breakfast, our guest is Tom Rogers, the Australian Electoral Commissioner. Commissioner, the threat of cyber attacks from state-sponsored or private actors is a concern worldwide. The Electoral Commission's introducing temporary security measures to protect against potential interference during this election. What are you doing?
A range of measures, Fran, and you're absolutely right that if you look at what's alleged to have occurred in a range of democracies around the world, we're very alert to that. We speak to our overseas partners. One of the key things for this election is the establishment of an Electoral Integrity Assurance Task Force, which is assisting us to ensure the security of our own systems for the event.
And what does that mean, though? How are you doing that?
Fran, I know you'll understand this when I don't go into the detail of that for obvious reasons, but we're very comfortable with the arrangements we've got in place and the support we're receiving from partner security agencies within government.
But what's it actually protecting? The process of the voting itself, or the information on the electoral roll, or what?
Well, there are several aspects to this, Fran. The most important thing for me at the moment is the security of the AEC systems, and that's exactly what the task force is assisting us with, in addition to the normal arrangements we have in place at this time anyway, working with organisations like the Australian Signals Directorate and the Australian Cybersecurity Centre to assist us in ensuring the safety and security of our systems.
Okay. In January, I think you called for more funding to upgrade the ageing IT system, and you've been asking for that since the last election. You didn't really get it in time, did you, for this? I think you got some money in the federal budget. So what's the risk then with this ageing IT system?
Look, Fran, it's as secure as we can make it at the moment, and I'm confident in the security of that, but it is a very old system. I think that the roll management system and the electoral management system are about 30 years old each, and they're not flexible. They're very difficult for us to maintain, and particularly to make changes to reflect legislative change. And we do urgently require funding to update both of those systems.
Is there a danger that the system won't cope on election night?
No, I'm very confident with the arrangements that we have in place.
Okay. Facebook recently moved to ban overseas-funded political ads targeting Australian voters in response to concerns raised by the AEC about potentially false and misleading political content on its platform. What do you believe is the greater threat? Questionable political messaging from Australian or foreign sources?
And just to be very specific on this, Fran, it's a question we frequently get. The AEC has no role in determining the facts of political messaging. You can understand, Fran, at this stage of the campaign, elections are a contest of ideas, and what one person thinks is truth, another person will not. Our role is to ensure that ads and content is authorised in line with the Electoral Act.
Right.
And we've been running a campaign on social media called Stop and Consider, and it's about ensuring citizens make sure that information comes from a valid source and is authorised.
So basically alerting voters about fake news online. This is an unusual step for an Electoral Commission to take, isn't it?
It's the first time we've done it, and I think it's the first time it's occurred in Australia. And again, as you said at the start, we are listening to what occurred in overseas jurisdictions. And this Stop and Consider campaign is actually based on something that occurred in Sweden. And I think it's important for citizens to understand that the information has to be properly authorised and come from a source.
Okay, we're almost out of time. We've only got 30 seconds to the news, but we have a higher enrolment than ever before. What proportion of new voters have enrolled?
Well, Fran, we're almost at 97%, almost at 90% youth enrolment, which is the big news, I think, for this election as well. It's the most complete roll we think we've ever had since Federation, which is great. New enrolment, we've been building on this roll over the last electoral cycle very successfully.
Okay, so more young voters than ever before.
Correct.
Tom Rogers, thanks very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Fran.
Tom Rogers is the Australian Electoral Commissioner.